Good morning, Mill City. Oh, yeah, man, I can feel the life in the room today. All right, it's going to be a fun morning. For anybody who's brand new with us, my name's Aaron Stern. I'm lead pastor here, and I've got sitting to my right Pastor David Williams, part of our teaching team, and we're going to be sharing together this morning. Before we do that, I want to take a moment and welcome everybody joining us on live stream. We're so glad that you're with us. And before we jump into the message, I want to highlight something from last week. Last week, Sunday, was our one-year anniversary of our So That Giving Initiative. 1 year since we started that, and we are under contract to buy a building, and if we have found our permanent home, which is an absolute miracle. And so, yeah, thank God for that. And that is possible because of the generosity of our house. And we're excited about the next steps and revitalizing this property. And so you can, if you weren't here last week and didn't get a chance to do this, if you would, grab a So That commitment card that should be around you somewhere. And you can grab a pen. And just want to encourage you to take a moment and think through this. This project and this next season is going to take all of us. And so if you would, kind of fill out the back, think through the back, and you'll notice a couple of things here. One, maybe you've made a commitment before, you made one a year ago, and you're just affirming that commitment. Secondly, maybe you came to Mill City in this last year, or maybe you weren't able to join some for some reason a year ago, and this is an opportunity for you to jump in and participate in this giving initiative in order to move forward with all that we hope to do. And or for some of you, it might mean increasing your commitment from the commitment that you made last year. And so this is a total of a three-year commitment. So this, anything you do from today is 2 years, or the next 2 years. So you can think about this, pray about it, ask God, really is what we ask for people to do. Ask God, what would you have you to do? And then to step out in obedience in response to him. And you can drop these into the black containers on your way out here today. We are in a talk or a series called Practice Fasting and Feasting. And this is really a series that's in a collection of series where we're engaging practices. And we've talked throughout this last year and a half, really, practice scripture and practice slowing through Sabbath and silence and solitude. And we've talked about prayer and generosity and community, necessary ingredients or helpful ingredients for us to become more like Jesus and do what he did. And we want to facilitate and to teach and lean into things that help connect us to God and give us his heart for the world. So it's important as we step into this here today that as we talk about practices, practices are not performance. It is not about being, oh, I'm doing this, or I'm fasting, or reading scripture, or reading through the Bible in a year, or whatever, that somehow makes you a more spiritual Christian. It can actually make you a more legalistic Christian if you're not careful. But they are valuable and important. We see Jesus doing them. So some of you maybe are familiar with the phrase spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits, but I like to think of them as practices and habits that Jesus had. He had rhythms, and he had practices that helped him to lean into time with the Father in order to do what he was called to do. And so these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about fasting, and today we're going to just kind of break the script a little bit, and I'm going to have a little, what I like to call a convo teach with Pastor Dave, and so kind of a way to hear a little bit more and kind of think through it together. So Pastor Dave, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's good to be with you. It's good to be with you, Aaron, and with Mill City. But before we get into this conversation, I want to give a shout out and a praise to God for his faithfulness to Mill City on your new home address.
Yes.
Can we give God praise?
Amen. Amen.
That's way awesome.
Before we jump into fasting in specific,
right,
we just take a moment and maybe talk about practices in general.
Right. Practices, what we glean from history and our historical writers of the church, the practices or those traditions or those ways that heighten our awareness of God. It isn't to say that any one precedes the other one, but a spiritual practice actually puts you in a position that you might be aware in a deeper way of God's presence. And so fasting is one of those ways. It is a discipline. It is not the only discipline, but it is one of those ways that we find ourselves really focusing on who is this God of all creation.
Mm-hmm. I like what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 as he's teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. We've referenced this in these last couple of weeks. Not only does it say when you fast, mm-hmm. meaning not if, but it is in some ways an invitation and an expectation from Jesus. But he then talks about, after that, about how we might do it so that other people would notice us. And I think that fasting is one of those practices that reveals something about the inside of us. Like in our desire to spend time with God, we might also experience the resistance.
You're right.
You know, like, oh, I don't really want to fast. Or, oh, if I do, I wonder if someone else will notice. Mm-hmm. So fasting in some ways, and the practices in general, help us to become more wholehearted, to reveal that which controls us and to reveal that which might divide us, mm-hmm. like how we might not be wholehearted but divided in heart.
Also, Aaron, just bouncing off of that Matthew's text in Matthew's, I think, 6:16, and when you fast. But if you look at that same text in Matthew 6:5, he will say, and when you pray. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is very much aware. He's not commanding us, but he's saying in space and time, mm-hmm. you will need access to these tools. Because these are those tools that the Father will honor and connect with you. So he says, and when you fast, and when you pray. And today when we talk about fasting, we think of fasting as a way to slow down. We are so in a culture of time and speed. Everything goes extremely fast. And there's disciplines that says, but to walk with the Father, to walk with God, to know your God truly in an intimate way, one must intentionally slow down and pause. I hear the word Sabbath in my head. One must stop to see who and what God is trying to say, but there must be a pulling over, a disconnecting, and allowing the voice, the presence, the power, and the peace of God mm-hmm. to enter in mm-hmm. to our personal lives.
Yeah, to not eat, you know, to spend some time, in fasting. And I realize not only how much time we actually spend eating,
right,
but also preparing to eat, actually eating, cleaning up from mm-hmm. eating, and thinking about the next meal. So then all of a sudden when you are like maybe not doing that and you take some time to fast, you realize like, man, I got some extra time here.
Yeah.
And it slows you down to think, what am I going to fill that space with? Am I just going to fill it with more activity mm-hmm. or can I create that and to let it slow me down to meet with God?
Yes. Not only do I realize what time I have available, it says, then what is God maybe trying to use in this moment that I'm not doing something else? And it's there that we pull over, we pause a moment to be aware that God is in this sacred space with us. In our culture is constantly filling up every time that you have. Does anybody remember when we had the day timer or the day runner?
Paper.
The paper one. Wasn't that the coolest thing? And what made it real cool was to have all of the hours taken. And then people would look at you and say, ooh, you're doing a whole lot. Well, God doesn't want us to do a whole lot. I think he's more aware that there are things we must do. And then there are times that he looks for time with us. And you cannot just arrive at an intimate relationship with God on a Sunday morning. It just doesn't facilitate that perfect connection where God wants to reveal who he is and what's happening in your world in this moment. So the fast is that intimacy with God, trying to come more aware of who this God is. Not what this God can give me. It is, who are you? And why are you thinking about me? Yeah.
When we were talking last week, actually, about this, you made a comment to me. You said, I find that fasting, like it helps me to break a routine.
Yes.
So talk about that a little bit.
Because we're all so programmed that there are things we want to achieve, which are, I think, fine. But it also tells us to breathe. And sometimes we need to breathe in God's Spirit, not constantly exhale to my next thing, to my next moment. But if we're going to be honest with this God that we talk about, who sends his son to go to the cross, who somehow has the power to deliver a world before his Father, to understand the depth of his ministry and understand the beginning of how he could save me, then we've got to break a routine to come into that moment, and I call it a sacred moment. So many of us do not experience the sacred moments of God. And that's where he speaks, I think, and reveals more of who he is to us. And I have had to grow in this way over the years, but I will say this, fasting is hard. To give up the eating, which is a craving that is extremely powerful. And as Pastor Aaron said, not only, I'm always asking my wife, even when we're having lunch, I've already began to ask her, what are we having for dinner? And I've noticed that she doesn't like that very well. But my brain just gets kind of locked up, is I'm eating now, I'm going to be eating later, and I'm going to have a night snack, and before I go to bed, I'm going to do something else. Fasting tells us that we are entwined with so many things that commandeer our allegiance and our time. And God is saying, I have the authority and the power to break that if you allow me.
Yeah, think of fasting as a way to, you know, because following Jesus is about orienting all of our lives around him, not just our Sunday mornings.
Yes.
But our finances, our relationships, and not just the external things, but the internal ways of thinking and the affections of our hearts. And so this is a practice we step into to say, I am not orienting around my stomach, not orienting around some things that is normal to orient around. So for a short amount of time, I'm going to say, Jesus, you are the center.
Yes. I'm going to focus in on that moment. But do not allow the fast itself to tell yourself, I'm going into a fast, to be the end of the story. Mm-hmm. For some of us, we come into fast and we are ready to tell God, hey, God, this is what's going on. This is how I want you to fix it. This is when I want you to fix it. This is where I want you to fix it. And this is how I want you to wrap it up in a nice, neat bundle. That isn't fasting. That's not the fast he declares. It is the fast of coming into God's presence and to accept, first of all, that God is there. That God is there. And I like to think about that Hebrews 11. For those who come to God must believe first that God is. Many of us are not quite sure if God is really there, unless God is proving something to us. I want to move that kind of thinking to the side. And as people of the written text, people of the followers of Jesus Christ, our first priority is to own that God is God, whether we are or whether we are not, God is. Mm. And to be with this God that always transcends time and space, then I want to feel and experience that being by just being with him. Does that make sense? Just to be with him, not proving him, not trying to command something from, but just to be. And in fasting, we're saying, hey, God, I'm excited just to be with you.
Yeah, not going to God just to get something from him.
Right.
But to experience his presence and be with him.
Just to be with him.
And I know that you just said, and I had said this these last week as well, like we don't go like, okay, God, I'm going to fast for 3 days in exchange for that. Then you can give me this. We'll do a little, you know, I do this, you do that kind of dance. Not the right posture of heart to move into that with. And yet, there have been times when in response, it seems like coming out of or in a time of fasting, I hear something from God or God does somehow speak into a situation. I know that's been the case for you.
Yes.
In some significant moments. I know that's been the case for me. I know that I remember the time that I was probably a couple years into, I was a college pastor at the time in Colorado Springs, and I sensed from God that I was supposed to fast for 6 days, 6 days water only, which was the longest by far that I had ever done, and just sensed, okay, God, I will respond to you, and I want to be obedient to you. And for 6 days, I heard nothing. It's like, God, like you asked me to do this. Certainly, where's the, I'm expecting something pretty significant to be happening here. And yet I just find myself extremely hungry. And I think in one way, it was highlighting for me what you just described. Like, okay, I think I was thinking if I do this, then somehow I'm going to get.
Right.
And I think God, in his grace and mercy, communicated, no, that's not quite what this is about. And yet, after that 6 days is when I felt like I actually heard from God in a pretty significant way. And it wasn't actually an encouragement. It was a conviction and rebuke from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with what I've sensed God calling me to and how much work and effort I was putting and leaning into what I felt like God was calling me to. And but that moment shifted everything. A word from God can shift everything and anything. And it shifted the way that I looked at my schedule. It shifted the way that I spent my time and the ways that I leaned into what I felt like God was calling me to do. And yet, so it kind of came on the heels of fasting. I know you've got some stories about that. Kind of talk, will you describe some of those?
Yeah, I will say even before going into fasting, growing up in the church, growing up with my parents who were wonderful Christians, and my father was a pastor. How I saw them fast, I thought it was the quick way to get something from God. It just, my parents would celebrate at the end of an experience with God, and they go, "Ooh, we went to God and we prayed." So my interpretation of fasting was, This is the roadway in to get things, but it was applauded by God. And so my early understanding of fasting was stopping, pushing the plate aside, telling God what I wanted, and in a few days, few moments or hours or whatever, God would give. I will tell all of you, I think that is our initial step into it. It's just not, it's not the conclusion of it.
It's good.
It is the initial way that we say, hey, leadership, interpreting our scriptures seem to say that there must be fasting if our churches are to grow, if our people are to find Christ, praying. Those are our initial steps with God.
That's good.
But it is not the end result. And the more we seek to understand our Lord, is through our worship, through our reading of his text, through our communion one with another, to our listening and watching the church develop. I think it's in that place where we make the next advancement in who is this God. And I will constantly hit this, that the best part of fasting is to learn how to be. How to be with God. And that, my friends, is a hard place to achieve. Because our minds are constantly saying, and do something. And say something. And prove something. And God is saying, I don't need those things to accentuate our relationship. Could me and you just have time together? And the more you cultivate the time together, the more God will expand, I think, his being with you. And that is the glorious power of having intimacy with God. Not to become super Christian, not to become, I am super deep in spirituality. When I lift my hand, the heavens open. No, I don't have to lift my hand at all. And God is yet proving himself to me. So when we fast, I learned over the years and that even when we began our church here 33, 34 years ago, I didn't have a clue of why now and what was God asking of me. But I had a tradition that says, I may not have the exact answer, but I can sit with God about what I'm contemplating, this spiritual moment. And so I sat with God and a few others. We sat with God. And sitting with God is so cool once you take self out. Because I'm not doing it to get something from me. I'm actually sitting with God to know God's will and God's purpose for the world and for me. And that's how, when we began our work 32 years ago, I found out that God was able to affirm and to confirm by his calling in my life, not audible, but I think in my soul place, that I have a new work for you to do. So it's sitting with God, brothers and sisters. Sit with him more. Because the world would tell us, this is the great church. This is the perfect church. No, every church needs to have the ability to teach its people, not only do we praise, but we worship you in sitting with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. Last week we talked about Isaiah 58.
Oh, yeah.
Isaiah 58 being one of the longer passages in Scripture about fasting. And Isaiah communicates God's heart towards his people in relationship to what they're doing in fasting. And essentially, they have come to God with a request of some sort. And and he says in there, like, you're not hearing from me. And even communicating, people are complaining to God, why haven't we heard from you? But his response isn't like, well, you came to hear from me. It was actually what they were doing outside of their prayer time, outside of their time with God. And it had to do with how they were treating other people.
Yes.
And so as Isaiah essentially communicates that to fast, or he even says a genuine fast, mm-hmm. or God's chosen fast, mm-hmm. looks like, yes, connecting with God, mm-hmm. but also then developing a heart for the world, seeking justice yes. for those who have experienced injustice, and solidarity with the poor. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit last week about how we might choose not to eat and remember then those who don't have that choice.
Right.
And so can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Isaiah text is such a powerful text because it is the exact text that Jesus uses to talk about the beginning of his ministry. Jesus will quote Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 61. And he will say, this is the fast. This is what God has called me for. And what we learn about Jesus' statements in Isaiah 58 is that Isaiah is talking about God, that there must truly be a relationship with God. There must be. Fasting brings us into awareness of God, but that's only one part of it. Fasting also brings us into a relationship of knowledge of others, our neighbor. And so to go one dimensional with God through, as Isaiah quotes this text, he says that he's called me to set at liberty those who are broken, those who are poor, those who are in prison, those who are blind, those who are missing, those who are not there. Isaiah says, this is the proper way of fasting. He says, open your eyes through the lens of God. And see not only what your place is in the world, but also see the place of others. Now, it's on that y'all supposed to go amen.
Should we try that again? Yeah, so I know it's hard for you. I asked you to sit down.
Because I'm sitting. He told me I had to sit. So you notice I was sitting on my hands because this is hard for me.
Feel free to stand.
But when I read that Isaiah text, God says, my heart is with you for one, but I also want you to have a heart for others. And you need a heart that not only sees others, but your heart wants you to reach out to others. And so Jesus says then in the Luke chapter 4, I believe around the 18th verse, Jesus says, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's only quoting Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah. He said, that same spirit that was on the prophets is now on me. And that same spirit now is calling me to have right relationship with the Father and right relationship with my brother. Does anybody want to bear witness to this? That's
now.
What he's saying. This is causing me to see the world with broadened lenses. Amen. All right now. So that 58 text is why Jesus is quoting the beginning of his ministry, the beginning of the church, that the church will have a broad lens of who it is called to serve. And he frames it in, it is the justice of God. So when we speak about justice, don't think that justice is a secular term. Justice is a biblical term. Justice to see one another, to see them in their pain and to see them in their celebrations. And he says, so then, this is what a real fast is. It's when you're able to see your neighbor. I'll sit back down. I'll say this. And I know some of you are going to say, but have you ever seen someone standing on a corner with a sign saying, I need help? Would you help me? Would you give me? Anything will do. And our first response in our inner being is to say, there's a lot of jobs around here. They should be working. They should not be on the corner. I know who is hiring. That is the spirit God wants us to break. He wants us to be able to see individuals as his creation. Not to try to destroy someone by saying, I know what they are. But Jesus says this in Luke 4. Jesus says, I've come to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty those who are captive, held captive. Jesus seems to say, some of us are spiritually blind. Some of us are spiritually imprisoned. And that person on the corner may be one of those people. The moment that you can pull your reasoning down and put on the lens of God, now I see you as an individual. I may not know your story, but I know your creator. Did you catch that? I don't know your story, but I know your creator. And your Creator has caused me to extend love to you. The secular or the carnal person will say, you don't deserve. But you remember, I didn't deserve his grace. I didn't deserve his love. I didn't deserve him to go to the cross. I didn't deserve for him to shed his blood. But he did.
Amen. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Weekly practice. Same as what it has been these last couple of weeks, just a little twist. The goal, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting in the beginning of every year. The goal, though, is not for fasting to be just an event, but to be a lifestyle.
Yes.
To continue to create space, to meet with God, to wage war against our flesh, all those things. And so the weekly practice this week is to fast 12 hours. Throughout the scripture and throughout history, that is the most common fast, sun up to sundown. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you can't do that. Maybe it's a meal, as it has been these last couple of weeks. Just trying to stretch us just a little bit here and lean into creating this space to be with God.
Yes.
And during that time, when you'd maybe be normally preparing or eating or cleaning up, will you spend some time? Maybe it's reading Luke 4, Isaiah 58, Isaiah 61, mm-hmm. leaning into reading the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7. And pray and just lean into Jesus, maybe without the particular asks, though aware that God is aware of what you need.
Yeah.
And opening your heart, opening your ears to hear, God, what do you have to say about this? How can I join you in this? How are you at work? Slowing your stomach down and slowing your mind down, slowing our hearts down to be with Jesus. Use the hunger pains throughout the day, not as a reminder of like, I'm grumbling about this, but actually as a prompt to pray. Yes. And to prompt to pray for our neighbor. Prompt to pray for our brothers and sisters. And we're going to transition here into communion, but before I do, I want to just encourage every one of us to really take a step forward, a step of surrender. Because to say yes to following Jesus, let alone saying yes to fasting, is to surrender. To surrender a desire, to surrender our hunger, to surrender those things to God. And maybe for some of you here in this moment have said, I've never said yes to Jesus, let alone say yes to giving some food up or giving something up for him, to not to impress him, but to meet with him. And so if that's you here today, maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you just take that step of faith? And you can simply say yes to Jesus by saying, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. Allowing him to lead, allowing him to be the one that you orient your life around. I'm going to follow you. Maybe you're saying that for the first time, or maybe you said, you know what, I've tried to live orienting all around myself and I have found it to be shallow and lacking. Doesn't bring the fulfillment and depth that is available, the joy that is possible. Just can't encourage you enough to take that step, make that decision here today, step into the kingdom of God. Together, we want to practice communion together. I love that it comes on the heels of this discussion about fasting as we talk about letting go of and not eating physical food, but instead feasting on the presence of God.
That's right.
And Jesus. And so I want to lead us in a moment of confession to begin. The scripture says that before you eat the bread and drink the cup, that you would examine yourself. So I want to take about 30 seconds or so and just you and God. Essentially, we're asking God, search me and know me. Is there any offensive or anxious ways in me?
Yes.
And allow those things to come to the surface. And maybe there are ways that we see our initial resistance. Maybe you even feel that in relationship to fasting or some sort of practice as I don't want to do that. And maybe it's a way in which we just find ourselves being resistant to the will of God.
Yeah.
And so we really want to say, God, I confess my resistance to you. I don't want to be. I want to be yielded to you. Whatever it might be, or maybe it's the way that you've treated your neighbor or viewed the person on the corner. Would you confess those things to God? Open your heart, your life to him. Just follow Jesus by ourselves, we follow Jesus together. And so we pray together, we sing together as a way of uniting our voices, as communicating our united in community and in heart. And so we want to pray together and pray the same words together, a confessional prayer that communicate our solidarity with one another in relationship to the mercy and grace of God. That each and every one of us are in the same need of the grace of God. Not one of us is in less need or more need of the mercy of God. So let's pray this prayer together. It comes up on the screen. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Pastor Dave is going to lead us here in communion. Before he does, if there's anybody here that did not receive a communion cup on your way in, if you would just raise your hand and one of our host team will make sure to get to you. You can just keep your hand raised and they'll make sure that you get that. We practice here what we call open communion, which means that if you're a follower of Jesus, even if you just said yes to Jesus just a moment ago, we'd encourage you to participate with us as a way of embracing the work of Jesus on the cross and saying, I'm all in, and I want to take him all in to me. Yeah. If you choose not to participate with us, that's okay. Communion's not about belonging to a particular church, but about belonging to the family of God.
We call communion a sacred moment, a sacred rhythm for the church. This is where we pause, where we stop, and we look back at the life of the church, the life of the Christians, the life of the prophets and teachers, and all of those who have left us a legacy of following Christ until his return. But we're all part of the same family. His blood covers all of our sins. And so we would turn to 1 Corinthians as one of the texts that remember the night that Christ broke bread with his disciples, and he wanted them to know that a time will come when I'm not here, but my spirit will ever be with you. So we join together in this sacred moment that God's spirit is with us. His presence is known. This isn't, as some will say, that this is the actual body of Christ, the actual blood of Christ. That's transubstantiation. We're not admitting that. We're not trying to debate that. What we are trying to do is to bring our spirit in alignment with Christ and says, God, we thank you. So hear these words from St. Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, where he says these words, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. At this time, will you lift the little cellophane wrapper and pull the wafer together? And together we eat it and asking God, be with us. Let us break the bread and let us share in it, and asking him, let this be an intimate moment with me, with you. Won't you take the bread? Then he writes further in that text, in the same way after supper, he took the cup. He's saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's the new promise. It's the new arrangement that I will not leave you alone to traverse this world. That I intentionally want to be with you wherever you go. I intentionally want to speak into your life, whatever you are confronted by. I intentionally love you. And this is something none of us should ever try to forfeit. He's constantly reaching into our situation. So once you take the cup, he says, whenever you drink it, this is done in remembrance of me. Won't you drink it together? Let's pray. God of intimacy, God of time and space, God who finds us worthy to be called your children, we've shared in this act of sacredness that we believe that you are here. And not only are you here, but you care about us. So God, as we have broken bread together, as supped from the cup together, and we prepare to leave a place like this, God, go with us. Give us grace to see you day by day. For this is our prayer. We believe in Christ's ability to save. Amen.